this would be, I think, a good pitch for a family office who is sitting that in that situation, who the older generation could, I guess, sort of extend an olive branch to say, hey, we're involved in the industry, but it's at a level with a return that is comfortable. And everybody saves face, so to speak. The younger generation can say that they are exposed to cannabis, and the older generation can say, but we have a blue chip type of exposure that is in no way skirting the federal illegality.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Cashing Out, brought to you each week by Hoban Law. With me today is my faithful co-host, Dina Galbert from Align Business Advisory Services. Hi, Dina.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. We have a very busy show today.
We do. I know. I'm excited for the folks that are going to be joining us.
Yeah, we have two guests, our attorney, Larry Mishkin, and our first bull. In the bullfighting ring is Rich Battenberg. He's a managing director at Clientele Management, Capital Management Group. We'll be calling Rich in a few minutes. But before we do, let's talk about what's been going on since we made the announcement.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we've been doing quite a bit. You know, the first thing that we always do is, you know, you and I sat down, we talked strategy, right? We talked about who we think might have an interest and why we think they'd be good partners. And from there, we've started now really tactically identifying who those individuals and entities might be. So, you know, we were doing quite a bit of research and looking at other trade show organizations that might have an interest in coming into the space, you know, other media outlets that might have an interest in branding it and having their logo and being an owner and a sponsor, for lack of a better word, in the space. So, you know, we've really just been exploring a lot of those strategic avenues and identifying the decision makers and trying to connect to those folks and get the podcast and get our pitch materials in front of them and start having some conversations.
I think the big part of this process is the preparation. And a lot of people underestimate how much preparation it takes place, but you really... And you're great about that, Dina, is just really putting the strategy together and who do we want to talk to? How do we want to talk to them? What do we want to share?
You know, it's really important in these types of deals. Well, really in any deal, not just this one. This one does have its own unique characteristics to it in that you want to be very thoughtful about who you're talking to and frankly, who you're putting an opportunity in front of, right? Because it's very strategic for them too, especially in an industry like the cannabis industry where everything's emerging and there's competition to being the first within the industry. And so putting an opportunity in front of someone, you want to make sure it's the right person. People that you think will have the same vision, you know, as, and especially in this case, because there's partners and other folks as a part of the business, you know, making sure that they share that same kind of strategic vision and treating it like a piece of real estate, I think sometimes is where it gets commoditized and folks say, oh, just let anyone and everyone know that you're wanting to sell. Well, we kind of are through this podcast, but when we go one-to-one and we have those conversations, we do it in a very thoughtful and strategic way to preserve what's proprietary about the process, but then also to develop the right relationships and start creating that goodwill and that value, which is what drives, you know, every transaction to a successful close.
You want to get started with our first guest, Rich Battenberg. Let me see if I can get him on the phone.
Fantastic.
This is Rich.
Well, Rich, say hello to Dina Galbert. She's my co-host on the show.
Hello there.
Dina.
Hi.
Well, you're in the arena. You're the first bull in the arena. You're going to set the tone for future bulls. And you've had a chance to look at the pitch deck and listen to our show last week where we introduced the company. And so you have a little bit of background.
Sure. So the recap from listening to your interview of Dina, you asked the one question that's my favorite one too at the end, where you asked Dan, why?
Yeah, why? Why?
So I got that. But Dan, maybe you want to, you know, recapping that.
For about the last, since I started, it was really been my full-time job running the show and putting the pieces together and assisting everyone else that's involved in our company. And little by little, I've sort of worked myself out of a job. My partners have taken over most of the things that I took care of before. As the company's grown, we've added key employees. And again, I've worked myself out of a job. So I have some ideas in the cannabis industry. I mean, one of them obviously is this podcast. it's time for me to move in a different direction. They have a pretty defined plan. They've done this strategy many, many times. They know the formula for building up a trade show, and it's a longer term play. And I'm at this point in this industry, there's so many opportunities, and I'm a hands-on start a business kind of entrepreneur type of person. And I want to get back into the game and start, you know, start a few other businesses. So,
right. Well, it's a good that you have that kind of self-awareness. Most entrepreneurs or business builders typically stay too long because it's their baby and they don't want to let anybody else raise it. And of course, nobody cares more about your business than you do. So it's a fairly outstanding level of self-awareness. It's, and it looks like you've got a really great partner from the standpoint of what they've done just outside of this industry and that kind of thing. So any kind of buyer, I think, would be very impressed by the infrastructure that seemingly your the other 50% brings to the table.
You know, I think our show has held up pretty good. Every year we've increased the floor size. The attendance has increased every year. And the quality of our speakers, the quality of the booths that are on the floor, every one of these measuring metrics have increased. And so that's, you know, I think that bodes well. It's a true indication of the industry.
Right. So this is unusual from a standpoint of an offering. In my experience, is you are neither a majority nor a minority, given that the company split directly down the middle. So this is an invitation to sit at the table on equal footing, theoretically, based on the equity that's being put up for sale here. You don't want to retain any of this. You want to get as much capital as you can out of it so you can go do all the other wonderful things that you have going with this podcast in particular and some other things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Dan and I talk a lot about that point. In any business relationship, it's really important that the two parties have the same kind of vision and motivations. And so from Dan's perspective, to have it wherewithal to step away, provide the opportunity to someone who does, who sees and wants to be in that place and sees the opportunity for them, you know, it's a win-win all around.
I think it would be more of a conservative investment for somebody that wants to be in cannabis but doesn't really want to be in cannabis, and somebody that wants to have an investment but doesn't really want to have to work.
You know, the time horizon I put on cannabis is 7 to 10 years until we get massive consolidation, federal legalization, in which case I don't know what happens to shows then when everything's owned by Monsanto, Philip Morris, Merck, and yeah. Beatrice.
One of the things that I think where this show has a lot of potential is with mainstream, especially in hemp. As mainstream starts to move into cannabis, our shows are pretty well positioned to accommodate mainstream businesses when they start to feel comfortable enough to be at a cannabis show. Because we're in New York and we're in LA and it's not the party scene, it's Las Vegas. I think we're really positioned great to accommodate that group.
Yeah, so it's a perfect investment for, as you said, somebody who's very conservative. This is more of a blue chip type of opportunity. It's basically an annuity whereby they can count on a return and count on the partner to really run everything and grow the business and be incented. I would say that an investor of that type would be perfectly aligned with the operating company.
And as I said on my previous show, is that we're going to make sure that we have the right person. Everyone has to agree on who that entity is that comes in to take my place. It's not an automatic.
My interest in it would be to place one of my really conservative type investors who is sort of afraid of the flame of cannabis, but would like some exposure to it in what appears to be a fairly low risk way. There's a lot of excitement from investors being able to say that they're involved with cannabis as some kind of a bad boy fantasy or something. That, you know, because, you know, typically my investors are consumers of the product. I do have a few who are not. This is the kind of investment that one of those kind of well-heeled, accredited type investors may look at. Seriously. I mean, now it happens to be probably a good time to be pitching this because the market is crashing like crazy. the market's given back the 8 or 10% that most investors have made who are in that class of kind of conservative.
Well, you know, that's good to know too, because there are some funds that are non-plant touching funds that are a little less aggressive. And then there are some people like, just like you said, some high net worth individuals who are still queasy on about touching a plant, that this might be exactly what they're looking for.
I think it's a perfect pitch for a family office whose family is split. I talk to a lot of family offices. Just given the stage we're at with the baby boomers aging, typically they're the ones that have passed on the wealth. There's younger people who are functionally running the family office, but the older generation has veto rights. And typically they are still of that generation that doesn't see the difference between marijuana and heroin. And they're just absolutely no way are we going to get involved with that. This would be, I think, a good pitch for a family office who is sitting that in that situation, who the older generation could, I guess, sort of extend an olive branch to say, hey, we're involved in the industry, but it's at a level with a return that is comfortable and everybody saves face, so to speak. The younger generation can say that they are exposed to cannabis, and the older generation can say, but we have a blue chip type of exposure that is in no way skirting the federal illegality nature of the industry. Mm-hmm.
Good advice. I haven't really thought about that before, but that's really good advice.
Yeah, family offices are, I can tell you, there's tons of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I read a statistic, there's like $78 trillion about to change hands in the next 15 years. And I can tell you, all of them are interested, and it's because of the next generation who is now coming of age. They're in their early 30s to early 40s, and they're itching to get exposure to this industry, but they just can't get it over the goal line. There's even a lot of foreign family offices, particularly Asian money, who are interested. This is a great, great opportunity for that kind of investor.
Well, Rich, we've taken up a lot of your time, but I think...
I don't know, was this helpful at all?
It's super helpful.
I do have a couple of investors who might be interested in something like this if you...
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to let you go. We still have another phone call that we have to do with a lawyer. Give us some advice they probably should have given me before I talked to you. Rich, thanks again.
All right. Hey, thanks. Good to meet you, Dina.
Thank you. Good to meet you as well.
All right.
All right. See you, Rich. Before I call Larry, let me do some quick business and thank one of our sponsors, Alt36. They're a payment processing platform that replaces cash with cryptocurrency, which they run through the Dash blockchain network. To learn more, go to episode 12 and listen to my interview with their CEO, Ken Ramirez, or go to alt36.com. All right, so now let's get Larry on the line.
Hey, Dan.
Well, Larry, say hello to Dina Galbert. She's my co-host on the show.
Hi, Dina.
Hello. Hi. Good to meet you as well.
But quickly for our listeners, Larry Mishkin is from the Mishkin Law Group and is a longtime cannabis attorney based in Chicago. You're of counsel with Hoban Law, so you handle all of Illinois' cannabis work for Hoban. Is that correct?
You are correct. I am of counsel to the Hoban Law Group. I am an Illinois licensed attorney. I handle a lot of matters, pretty much all of the firm's cannabis matters as they relate to anything going on in Illinois. But my practice has also expanded to a national basis. There's a lot of different things that go on that don't necessarily require that you be a attorney in the particular state where the matter is happening. And through the Hoban Law Group, we actually have attorneys in every state that has a program so that I have someone I can just go to and say, would you look this over and make sure that what I've drafted complies with any applicable California law or Colorado law?
Gotcha. Well, for our listeners, Larry and I have worked together for a lot of years, but the funny thing is, and we were just talking about this, he and I were in Seattle at the MJ Biz trade show when they had that trade show back in 2013, where I got this idea. And so Larry was there at the birth of the idea for a trade show.
You know, it was very interesting. That was actually the first time I had met Dan. And we sat there over a day and a half or 2 days listening to these presentations. And I walked out of there at the end thinking, wow, what an amazing industry. This is going to be a great industry to work in. And Danner walked out of there thinking, wow, trade shows, that is definitely the way to go. And I stopped and I looked at me, really? And this was in what, November? And by the following June, you guys had your first show in Las Vegas at the Hard Rock.
Yep. Our listeners can probably appreciate the anxiety that you faced or that you had when I mentioned to you that I was going to do this show and or do the sale of the business on this show. And I'm going to give you credit where credit's due. The best thing about working with you, Larry, is that you tell me the legal side, but you never try to influence my business decision, which is, I mean, that's rare for attorneys. Attorneys always want to become a business person, but you really are real good about showing me the downside, the upside, the legal side, and then let me make the decision. So thanks.
Well, it's my pleasure. And, you know, really, that's the way the job is supposed to be done. Luckily, I've been practicing long enough that I finally figured that out. I'm very happy to be able to play my part. The overall process, pulling that, you know, first conference together and the subsequent ones was a tremendous experience in terms of introductions it created for all of us into the industry. You know, I think you mentioned it on your previous show that you guys really positioned yourself where I think that other than MJ Business Daily conferences, you guys became the second most popular show on the circuit. It was a great accomplishment. Very nice to be able to say I was there at the beginning and see where you have taken it to.
Well, let's jump into some. I know one of the things that you are a stickler on, crossing the T's and dotting the I's, and under that heading is non-disclosure agreements, NDAs. Give us the full 101 on an NDA. Why do I need it? What are they? What are they for? And why is it, would it be so important for this show that we get everybody under an NDA?
Let's just say this. I like to think of NDAs as the safe sex version of business transactions. What's happening is you are sitting down with somebody who you may or may not know very well, and you're sharing a lot with them. And it's very personal, and it's very important. And if it's shared or transmitted to the wrong person or used in the wrong way, it can be very, very devastating to businesses. And it didn't take long for people to figure out that, hey, if somebody comes in and says they want to buy my business, well, you know, in order to properly value the business, they need to see my books, they need to see my records, they need to see my customer list, they need to see my intellectual property, my trade secrets, all the stuff that's unique and special to my business. And what happens if after I show them all of that, they say, yeah, you know what? We've decided we don't want to buy your business. Now we know how to do it. We're just going to go out and start our own and compete against you. And that has to be protected against. And the way we do this, we use an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, which allows for exchange of the type of information that's typically required for the sale of a company or a major asset.
I mean, you're going to be on the show quite a bit. Anything else that you want to caution Dina or me about going into these interviews or these, in particular, related to NDAs? We'll try to make sure we get all of our NDAs in place before we have guests on the show. And we'll try to, before we send out anything beyond the basics, we'll make sure that we get an NDA in place.
Yeah, I think that that's important. And it becomes an important part of your show so that your listeners understand that that's just a natural part of the process. And that, you know, so if they go in to deal with somebody who says, I don't deal with NDAs, it's good for them to hear, hey, wait a second, everybody deals with NDAs. What do you mean you don't deal with NDAs?
Exactly.
You don't want somebody to feel like, oh, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, fine, I won't sign the NDA. So I think it's great that you incorporate it into your show, that it can be discussed as needed and whenever those types of issues arise.
Well, thanks, Larry. It's Larry Mishkin from the Mishkin Law Firm. Larry's going to be a reoccurring guest, so you guys will get to know him pretty well.
Well, thank you to both of you, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Well, we have a busy week ahead of us.
Yes, we do.
Do you have anything else before we sign off?
No, I think we got some great feedback today. I know it certainly got my hamster turning in regards to some of the outreach we're going to do, but hopefully next week we'll have some feedback from some of the folks that we talked to discuss.
Yeah, and we have a couple people already lined up as guests for next week. This thing is really starting to take shape. So if you have any ideas, any thoughts, any comments, please email us at connect@mjbulls.com, connect@mjbulls.com. And I'll have Larry's and Rich Battenberg's and Dina's information on the MJ Bulls website. So, all right, well, have a good week, Dina. Everyone else, have a good week. We'll see you next Sunday.
All right, sounds great. Take care. Thanks.